listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts. It's Thursday, July 28th, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 189, a production of Galactic Netcasts. I'm Dave Nelson, along with Brad Ludwig and Anessa Moines. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hello.
It's been so long.
It's been forever.
I know. I had to go and look to see what my pick was that I never used. And then I'm really glad that my past self decided to make a few notes about, like, my thoughts at the time.
It's been 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, but we're back. I apologize. I got really busy at work. Things got crazy. But thank God, because money is good. That's all I have to say. This is the podcast. Let's introduce ourselves, shall we? This is the podcast where we talk about extraterrestrial beings in science, science fiction, and real life. And here's how we do it. We talk about it in three sections. The news, the, what do we call it again? The sighting? See, it's been a long time. I forgot how it goes. And our picks for the week. And I want to thank Monkey Warhol, an electronic musician from Minneapolis who provided our intro music. And they have a brand new song out and video for it. It's called Lovely Lady. Hey, lady. And you can check it out on their YouTube channel. We'll put a link in the show notes. You can check it out for yourself. So if you guys are you guys ready?
Maybe.
Yes.
All right. Let's start.
In the news.
Do you love how I just glossed over your maybe, Anessa?
Yep. It happens.
Dave Nelson doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah. Okay. How about this? Map of alien invaders charts hundreds of aliens from movies, comic books, and more. How's that sound? How's that grab you?
Bam! Right by the short and curlies.
It sounds like an awesome thing that you could put up in your in your geek office or, you know, your downstairs. I'm not going to say man cave. I hate that term. But in your space, in your cool nerdy space, that'd be a great thing to put on the wall, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Do you want to learn more? Do you want to learn more?
I would love to learn more. Tell me all about it, Dave Nelson.
Okay. Jason B. Thompson, an Eisner Award-winning artist, has funded a Kickstarter campaign to create a full-size poster that showcases every alien invader Earth has ever stood up against, starting with the first invasion known to mankind, the 1888 novella about sentient crystals set to take over humanity. And I don't know how to pronounce that. Anessa, do you know, you want to take a stab at that?
I'm lost where it is.
Le zippity doodah.
Is that French?
Yeah, I think it is French. It's lay something.
Les ZPU.
There you go. That's probably the closest.
I have no idea. I don't know much about French.
It's a 1888 novella that is where this thing will start, and it will go all the way to 2016's Independence Day 2. Every alien species that has ever dared to step foot on our planet with the intent to take it over, from books to film to comics and Japanese manga, will be plotted out to gaze on or gaze at all day long, as long as you want. Thompson makes note that it will not include first contact stories, events where humans attempted to invade other planets, or aliens who came to our home world for conjugal visitations. These are your big, bad, hostile takeover jerks of the universe, or sometimes the rare case of know-it-all aliens who think they're helping mankind by turning us into mindless thralls. Now, this isn't Thompson's first foray into the illustrative pop culture map series. Back in 2015, he raised over $20,000 to make his map of zombies come to life. That one showcased some 350 different types of zombies from literature and pop culture. Bam, there it is.
Bam.
Holiday present, Christmas present, 2016. That's what I want. This is on my list of things.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this particular image.
Is there any stories or invasions that stand out to you that you can see? I can't open it myself or else my computer will crash.
Ah, there we go.
You going to put it up on the screen?
Well, yes, I will. But unfortunately, it doesn't get much larger than what I'm about to show you. So what you're seeing right now is as good as it gets.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
When it's all said and done, this map is going to be absolutely freaking huge. And there's a lot of smaller print that's just too small to see at this resolution. But it starts on the outer edge as, you know, types of aliens, like inscrutable aliens or predatory plants or all-consuming blobs. And then it moves closer in and then it gives you more specifics of the types,
specific like categories, then it gets narrowed down.
Yeah.
It looks
so
like...
you start with here's an example. You start with humanoid aliens, and then it moves into a branch called mostly humanoid, and a separate branch called semi-humanoid, and then it goes in further. And for mostly humanoid, it's got two or more genders, and then it goes mostly identical to humans, and then it gets even closer. So
that's awesome. This is like one of those things that you put on the wall. And you just stare at. And it's every time you go by, you look at something new, or you would notice something new.
Absolutely.
Well, cool. I so want that. Anybody that usually gives me presents, please put that on my list of gifts to give me in the near future. If you're listening, people of unknown origin. All right. Let's move on before we do the second story. If you like what you hear, if you like what we're doing here, if you're listening going, you know what, I want more. I want to know every moment, every move that you guys make, every breath you take, you'll be watching us. You can follow us on our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. We're also on Instagram, but we never use it, so forget it. But Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, follow us there. Just do a search for Galactic Netcasts, or we have the links on our main page of the website, which is gncasts.com. Anessa, looks like you have the second story of the show.
I am. I do. I was distracted by the map of the aliens.
It's cool, isn't it? I love it.
It is. And I was looking at like the different tiers and stuff, and they have one. If you pledge 50 or more, zombies versus aliens. So it looks like they've got a map of zombies as well.
Yeah, no, the story said that. That's the first thing he did. He raised $20,000 for that, and now he's moved on to the aliens.
Yeah, sorry, I had to go check on Alex because I heard the fridge door open.
Oh, all right.
Teenage boy, bottomless pit for his stomach. Nom, 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 nom. So anyway, all right. So in less than a month, the deaths of two high-profile UFO hunters have rocked the paranormal world. The trend of inexplicable deaths among extraterrestrial truth seekers has conspiracy theorists and paranormal believers alike wondering if, quote, men in black and or agents of governments are deliberately killing off people who get too close to the truth and speak out about their findings.
Okay, can I just interrupt real quick?
Okay.
I want there to be paranormal believers. Justin Bieber fans who are into paranormal stuff. That would be awesome.
Oh, I'm sure they exist.
Paranormal
believers.
Yes. Okay, continue. I'm sorry. I just couldn't pass
I'm
that
gonna
up.
Google after I'm done with this story and I'll let you know.
Oh, we'll find out if they exist. Thank you, Internet.
Yep, it probably does. What is it, Rule 34?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway. As Express reports, the first of the recent UFO hunters' deaths was that of Max Spears. Spears was a paranormal investigator and UFO hunter. He was also famous for telling the world that he used to belong to an elite, super secret group of government-sanctioned super soldiers. Spears' dead body was discovered in Poland earlier in July, and many conspiracy theorists are speculating the renowned UFO hunter was murdered for knowing, and perhaps more importantly, saying too much. Adding to the speculation that the UFO hunter was murdered is the fact that authorities have yet to release a cause of death. Wait, when did he die? It was July? June? Early July. It takes like 6 to 8 weeks for autopsy reports to come back, people.
Yeah, just cool your jets, okay? Okay?
Okay. I'm just throwing that out there. So anyway, so totally lost my spot. Adding to the speculation that the UFO hunter was murdered is the fact that authorities have yet to release the cause of death. On Wednesday, UFO hunter's death concluded to command attention or continued to command attention when it was announced that UFO hunter Gaurav Tiwari was found dead in his Northwest India home. UFO hunter Tiwari was a newlywed at 32 years of age. According to most accounts, he was a, quote, good point, or at a good point in his life, and happy. Officially, his death is being treated as a suicide, but those closest to him say that he was definitely mysterious and he had no reason to take his own life. The second of the UFO hunter deaths was reportedly discovered when Tiwari's father heard a loud noise from the bathroom. When he went to check on his son, the newlywed UFO hunter was unresponsive. Law enforcement reports that a black line was wrapped around the deceased's neck, which led authorities to believe he'd hanged or strangled himself. Another theory is that he may have fatally hit his head when he fell. An autopsy is reportedly being conducted on the UFO hunter, whose father told the media that his son had said he was dealing with mysterious, dark thoughts prior to his death. Express reports that the two most recent UFO hunter deaths are just the latest in a string of over 70 mysterious deaths involving UFO researchers, investigators, authors, alien contactees, and military. According to the professor, the causes of mysterious deaths range from heart attacks to sudden onset cancers to supposed suicides. Some people believe that the deaths, while occurring in different parts of the world, in different countries, and even on different continents, are being deliberately organized by government officials, or even by members of so-called shadow governments or their agents. Agents like the elusive and mysterious Men in Black. Dun, dun, dun!
I was waiting for that. I was so waiting. Because you mentioned that on Facebook Messenger that you were going to add that, and then I opened the document, and there it was, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till she says it. It's at the very end. This is going to be awesome.
I needed that pause, and then the dun, dun, dun. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We can't really say for sure, because if they both recently died, like I mentioned earlier, it typically takes 6 to 8 weeks, because there's toxicology screenings that they have to run and get back to help them determine the cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
So people need to wait, be patient. Patience is a virtue.
Yes.
And then I'm kind of hoping that there will be an update at some point so we can see if indeed, something's afoot, or if, you know, everything just seems normal.
This is one of those things where you can only speculate. Like, there's no
right
information at all, real facts. It's just a string of deaths, and they have that one thing in common, that they're all UFO investigators. Could be just a mere coincidence, but then again, who knows?
Yeah. And I thought it was interesting that, like, the father of Tiwari said that his son had some dark thoughts. So I don't know what those dark thoughts were. If they were related to, like, him being depressed or something else was going on, like, that would have been kind of nice to know, just so you can better, I don't know, judge the situation.
He just wanted to paint his room black. That's what the dark thoughts were.
Maybe. He's like, I just really like dark gray. What is wrong with that? And I mean, the article also mentions that, like, his family didn't really believe in UFOs and whatnot, so
he just saw a red door. And he wanted to paint it black.
Wanted to paint it black.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Brad, what do you think about this? What's your theory?
They're talking about mysterious deaths, and there's also a conspiracy that anti-vaxxers and who happen to be chiropractors are being killed all over the world. as some kind of conspiracy that they're, you know, like the big pharma is trying to do away with all these people that are trying to get, you know, get them to, people to live healthy lives and not have to take medications. So, you know,
wouldn't they target more than chiropractors though?
Yeah. Nutritionists.
Like every other health nut on the internet. Like if they targeted everyone that wanted people to lead like healthy lives and whatnot, then I think they would pretty much kill like half the globe.
The deaths are mysterious.
We talked about a similar story.
The dent in my fingernail is mysterious. I don't know how I got that.
Matt and I on Weird World Weekly, we had a story about this. I forget what the connection was, but I think it's just coincidence. I don't think there's anything to this actually. But
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, let's do a thorough like years in the making investigation. Let's devote our full time on this. Let's get down to it. Let's figure it out, people, or not.
If you have time.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what you have time for? You have time to go to gncasts.com. This will not take very much time at all. gncasts.com/support. All right? On that page, you will find a couple of links. The first link goes to our Patreon campaign where you can make a reoccurring monthly donation of $1. That's all. $1 a month. Okay? Or there's also the Amazon affiliate link on that page as well. So if you do a lot of shopping on the Amazon, you just go through that link, do your shopping through that link, and a small percentage comes back our way to help us out with like the server costs and the web space that we have to have our site on. It's real simple. This is low cost to you. I mean, $1 a month or just do the shopping that you usually do. And it's a win-win because you're getting stuff. We're getting stuff. You're getting the podcast and, you know, helping us and feeling good about it because you're giving that $1 a month. So again, gncasts.com/support. We thank you for that. And Brad has the third and final story in the news.
I do. And it's a doozy. I think we mentioned this earlier, but this is an update. The new China telescope to search for aliens. The largest radio telescope in the world is now in China. Installation of a 500-meter aperture spherical telescope, or FAST, was completed on July 3rd of this year, with the last 4,450 panels fitted into the big dish. Chinese scientists are now at work debugging the telescope's software and instruments and doing some trial observations. That's according to the deputy head of the National Astronomical Observation under the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which built the telescope. The team says it will have the telescope fully operational by September of this year. Project officials said the new telescope will be used for many astronomical pursuits, including an exploration of the very early universe, but a primary focus will be a hunt for signals from possible distant extraterrestrial civilizations. In other words, FAST will be used in part to listen for radio waves from aliens on other worlds.
Brad, you said it was going to be fully operational?
Yes. The Death Star will be fully operational yes. In September.
I was going to suggest that another use for it is to destroy planets in the rebellion.
As the name suggests, FAST has a dish diameter of 500 meters, which translates to 1,600 feet. That's about the size of 30 football fields.
Holy crap.
And in its contrast to the Arecibo radio telescope in Puerto Rico, which is 305 meters or 1,000 feet across. Now, like Arecibo, the new scope lies within a natural hollow or karst in the landscape. Its 4,450 triangular panels are designed to reflect and focus radio waves. Unlike the Arecibo dish, which has a fixed spherical curvature, FAST will use active optics. Its surface will adjust in different directions with more flexibility than the surface of Arecibo, which means it'll cover the sky within 40 degrees of the zenith or overhead point, in contrast to Arecibo's 20 degree range. So it has double the range, essentially. And they said that FAST will be a global leader in radio astronomy for the next 10 to 20 years. They also add that scientists will be able to carry out remote control and observation in other cities such as Beijing, more than 1,200 miles away or 2,000 kilometers from the telescope. The new telescope, and here it is, whose total cost was about 1.2 billion yuan or $180 million US, was first proposed two decades ago, and the construction began in 2011. So this thing is so huge, it took 5 years to complete. Of course, it's out probably in the middle of nowhere, and they had to, you know, drag all those materials to that location and then install this thing. And it's the size of 30 football fields.
Wow.
That's ridiculously huge, but it's going to do some great things for astronomy, that's for sure.
There was some controversy around this because some people had to be relocated because of the construction.
Yeah.
And China has a long history of this. Like, there's been a couple of dams. I remember that major dam construction. I forget the name of it, but basically they had to relocate a number of villages because they were going to be flooded because of this dam. And it sounds like it was kind of the same deal with this telescope. So that's unfortunate. But hopefully the positives will outweigh the negatives, right?
Theoretically.
Yeah. We'll see what comes of it. Can't wait to find out.
Yes.
You know, worst case scenario, play some football games on it, right? 30 of them.
Yeah. Wow.
I was going to say, think of all the football you can play.
That's a whole lot of football, yo.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape. Huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
By the way, I forgot to thank Daryl Johnston for filling in on the last episode of the Alien Invasion, because you guys were out gallivanting across the U.S. Southwest.
Well, at least one state.
Yeah. Well, that is one big-ass state.
It is. I ended up driving 1,170 miles, according to my rental car receipt.
Wow.
That's not much.
How many football fields is that?
More than 30.
Yeah, that's for
way
sure.
Way more.
But anyways, Daryl did a bang-up job, and we thank him for filling in.
Thank you, Daryl.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's talk about something that somebody saw somewhere in the world. We're talking a UFO, unidentified flying object, unidentified aerial object, as they some people call it, or UFO, or flying. Did I say flying saucer?
You have now.
Okay, I'm saying flying saucer. And this one was over Scotland. Shaky.
Scotland.
If it's not Scottish,
Scotland.
It's crap. Sorry.
I'm sure people from Scotland are hearing this and going, Jesus, wept. That's the worst accent I've ever heard.
Yeah, I'm not known for my accents, except for my wife, and that's still kind of pretty weak. Anywho, shaky but eerie footage showing a mysterious black UFO hovering for several minutes over a harbor in Scotland has left many baffled. The footage was captured over Ayr Harbor in Scotland by 13-year-old James Cooper. James sighted the UFO hovering in the sky for about 15 minutes at about 5:30 p.m. on Sunday, July 17th, 2016. So this just happened. UFO blogger Scott C. Waring wrote on his UFO Sightings Daily blog, "This is a UFO, and it has three long arms coming out of it on the right side. Its shape is like of a barrel, that of a barrel." James Cooper was leaving a grocery store when he sighted the UFO and filmed it on his phone. The Daily Mail reports, unable to explain the sighting, he sent the 28-second footage to his father, Jamie Cooper, 33, through WhatsApp. James was walking home when he took the footage on Sunday. Jamie said his son told him the object was stationary in the air for at least 15 minutes, but the teenager suspected the UFO may have hovered over the same spot much longer because he just, you know, walked out of the store. There it was, so it may have been happening before he noticed it. And that's our sighting for the week. I forgot to watch the video. Do you guys want to do an experiment?
Maybe.
Do you guys want to, one of you want to watch the video and kind of describe it for us? Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, give me just a sec here.
Okay. Before, while you're setting up or while you're getting it loaded, let me just do the next thing and then we'll kind of backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. We would love your feedback. Of course, to make this podcast better, we're always trying to improve. So we have two questions for you. What's your favorite part of this show, and what do you want to get out of this podcast? If you could, please answer one or both of those questions and send it to us via email, aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com, or leave your answer by calling our voicemail number, 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. All right, Brad, are you watching it?
I am, and it's terrible video, I can tell you that.
They weren't lying when it said really? Shaky.
Oh, that's awful.
What happened?
Okay, so it is in... he's shooting video, and it's over a number of houses, essentially, or apartments, flats, whatever you want to call them. And it's basically, it looks like the helicarrier. It looks like a shield helicarrier.
Nice.
And quite honestly, it looks like, it really looks like it is a six-propellered copter, essentially, you know, like a quadcopter.
Yeah.
Except
okay.
With six. But he's walking while he's taking the video, and it just looks atrocious because I don't get motion sick, but I wanted to vomit while watching it, frankly.
Okay.
It must have been he had it zoomed in so far that any little movement is just totally exaggerated.
Oh, I hate that
but
kind of
it's,
video.
But it's a 5 to 10 second video, and it really looks like it's a drone, essentially.
Okay.
A six prop drone.
Well, according to the UFO Daily Digest guy, it was a real UFO. Can't argue with him, right?
Yeah, it's on the internet. It must be true.
Well, I mean, unidentified flying object. Well, if he couldn't identify it, then yes.
Well, technically he is right, yes.
Okay. All right, so you be the judge, fine listeners. We'll put the link in the show notes. You can watch it for yourself, but maybe take some Dramamine before you view it.
Yeah, you really, really want to do that because... Yikes.
It's a good thing I got an error when trying to watch the video then.
Yeah, it's...
Because
yeah, I don't
would
have a
have
problem
out.
With motion sickness, but you do. So be warned, folks.
I'm a wimp.
Well, not a wimp.
Just not down with the motion.
You're not done with OPP stable. Either.
No.
Yeah, you don't know me.
And there it is.
Okay, let's move on to picks and warnings. These are things that we have watched, listened to, read, et cetera, you know, taken into our senses as entertainment or information. As when it comes to UFOs and extraterrestrial beings. And Brad, would you like the honors of going first?
McGurd. Yes. So I think that we've mentioned this before as a previous sighting a long time ago, but it is the most famous UFO incident in Canada.
Ooh.
It is the equivalent of Canada's Roswell. Now, this comes from a podcast called The Nighttime Podcast, and it is not unlike Weird World Weekly,
mm-hmm.
except it is more interview-based.
Okay. Oh, is this the thing that you shared with us on our Slack channel, the link?
I did.
Okay.
Yes. So if you are, you should get on board with our Slack channel because we are sharing things all the time. things that our listeners would most likely be interested in seeing, and it relates to all of our shows. So you should totally get on board with that, because you would have seen this.
It's free too. You don't have to do anything. Just go to, I think it's gncasts.com/signup. I believe that's the right.
So that
link.
Sounds right.
Yeah. All right, continue.
So if you're not a user of Slack, you want to get on board with that for sure.
Yeah, it's just basically a chat room, and we throw links in of interest.
Yeah, and a few of us are on Slack all day long. I know Matt uses it for work. I use it for work, so it's an additional channel that's attached. So I usually respond fairly quickly.
I use Lotus Notes for work.
You do.
So,
yeah, that's how I felt, Dave.
Anyway, back to my pick. When he opens this episode, he states very clearly that he wrote down 20 items in particular that he wanted to talk about when he did his show. And this particular item was number 2, the Shag Harbor UFO incident. Now, this is episode 22. He said that he took a while to get interviews in place so that he could, you know, do a really good presentation of this. And this is going to be a 2-parter. So episode 22 is the current one. Episode 23 will be the second part of this. Now, here's some background on this. For those of us in the U.S. who have no idea, when I described this, if you're a UFO enthusiast, you'll go, oh, that one. It's 1967. 17-year-old Lori Wilkins and a car full of friends witness a series of lights traveling at a low altitude just above the tree line. As the lights travel along with the car, the object appears to descend sharply, crashing into the dark waters of Shag Harbor. When Lori phones the RCMP, which is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, would they be considered like state troopers, or are they?
They're federal. They're national federal. Police. Yeah.
Okay. So they would be what, the equivalent of maybe our FBI?
Possibly, but maybe not. They're more like uniform type officers and less plain clothes. Gotcha. Like the
a
FBI
mix between
is.
State trooper and, well, I guess it would be like a state trooper, but just across the country.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
It's not dedicated to one particular state.
Okay.
And gotcha. They're not mounted. They're not on horses.
Not anymore.
No. Anyway, he phoned the RCMP to report what he believes to be a downed aircraft. He was asked if he had been drinking, but when 5 similar reports come in from other area residents, every RCMP officer in the area is dispatched. As the RCMP officers arrive, joining the crowd of witnesses at the shoreline, one thing was certain. There is something illuminated on the water, and it appears to be sinking. The event, commonly referred to as Canada's Roswell, remains to this day as one of the most compelling UFO sightings in Canada, if not the world.
The world.
Exactly.
Bum, bum, bum.
And this particular sighting, if you watch, I know I've seen a couple of things on Netflix about UFOs, and this is usually in the top 20 of sightings that are the most interesting and the most documented in the world.
Yeah.
So this, he actually talks to a couple of people who were there or had a relative or a loved one who was there on the scene. And he, you know, puts together a really nice interview, and it's really good. And I'm starting to go through the episodes of this particular podcast called the Nighttime Podcast. And I found it on Stitcher. So if you check us out on Stitcher, you can do just a quick little search and you can find the Nighttime Podcast and find episode 22, the Shag Harbor UFO incident.
And I'm guessing that you can find the Nighttime Podcast on like iTunes, Google Play Music, all the usual places.
Yeah, you can go to nighttimepodcast.com as well, and they have all their episodes there. So if you're listening to this, beyond the time. So like Stitcher has a rotating thing of like approximately 5 episodes. So if you go to the Stitcher or whatever, and it's, you don't see episode 22, go to their website, nighttimepodcast.com, and you'll be able to find their full library of episodes there.
All right. Thank you, Brad. Sounds good. Might have to listen. My pick is a new video game. It's not, the pick isn't the game itself. The pick is, because I'm not really a gamer, although I'm loving the Pokemon Go. No, this is 2 trailers for a video game. And maybe we have discussed this in the past. It seems like we have, feels like we have. It's called No Man's Sky. Are you guys familiar with this video game? Have you heard about it?
No.
Okay. I will explain it to you then. It is a video game that's coming out in early August on PlayStation 4 and Microsoft Windows. And basically, it's a space exploration game. And it looks really, really awesome and really, really like layered. Like you could play this game for a very, very long time. So I watched 2 trailer videos. One is called Explore and the other is called Fight, which you can kind of guess the theme for each one, right? Explore is exploring the galaxy and the other one is fighting, as you're fighting species on planets or fighting things in space. So here's just the YouTube description of the first video. And it says, there are 18 quadrillion planets in the game. You heard me right. 18 quintillion. Did I say that right? Quintillion? Yeah.
Quintillion.
Quintillion planets in the game. That's a lot. Even if each planet was visited at a rate of 1 per second, it would take 5 billion years to explore them all, which begs the question, how did they come up with 18 quintillion planets in one video game? I would love to know, because, I mean, if it takes...
There has to be some repeats.
Yeah. There's got to be maybe an algorithm that, like, creates the planets automatically or something like that, because I can't see game developers, you know, actually put into each of these planets together individually. It just doesn't seem like something that you could actually pull off. Okay, so there's the 18 quintillion planets by which the sun in our solar system... okay, so it would take a bunch of times to explore them all. Anyways, to help guide players through such a vast number of locations, No Man's Sky has an overarching goal of reaching the center of the universe, where there are more bountiful resources and more challenging locations to discover. This, however, is just a guide, and players are free to explore the game however they like. All right, so that is the description for the Explore game trailer for No Man's Sky. The description for Fight... On a planet, players are equipped with a multi-tool to defend against deadly predator creatures and mine resources. Attacking creatures, aggressive or otherwise, or mining resources will call the attention of the Sentinels, a robotic force who seeks to keep each planet in a natural, undisturbed state. The more you fight back against the Sentinels, the higher your wanted level and the tougher they'll become. From flying drones to quadrupedal machines, towering walkers, and eventually dropships. Space is also patrolled by the Sentinels, so attacking traders for their valuable goods or scavenging resources from freighters will also see you gaining a wanted level, with Sentinel police ships coming to defend the natural order. It's not just the Sentinels who you need to beware of in space. Pirates will swoop in on you. Pirates will swoop on the unwary, requiring you to evade and escape or fight back to defend your cargo. So it sounds interesting. I'm not a gamer, like I said, but I love watching trailers, watching shiny, cool things. And this would be a definite shiny, cool thing that I enjoyed watching. And I think you will, too. And especially if you are a video gamer, it sounds like something that would take up a lot of your time. So
it does, especially given how many planets they're saying you have access to in this game.
Yeah.
And I thought Fallout 4 was time consuming.
So, Brad, just a warning, if you get this, I guess it's a warning for us that it will be your pick for the next 20, 30 episodes.
I will not be getting into that. No.
Okay. All right. Are you still playing Fallout 4?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you guys playing Pokemon Go too?
Yeah, we're playing Pokemon Go, but it's more of like, oh, when I think about it.
What level are you guys at?
I just went to 11.
Okay.
I think I'm at 11 as well.
I'm at 12.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah. I never think to like open my phone when I have to walk around campus. It's like I do once every couple of days. I'm like, oh yeah, I could totally walk around. Or like when I'm going to lunch, I can open my phone. I can catch some Pokemon. I can hatch some eggs. And yeah, no, not so much.
Just set a reminder for yourself. Open Pokemon Go during lunch.
My lunchtime reminder.
Yes. All right. So we'll put the links to both of those trailers. And I'm sure gamers, I wish Ryan Murphy was here for this because I'm sure that he could explain it a lot better, a lot thoroughly than I have. But sounds pretty awesome. All right, Inessa, what is... Oh, you know what? We totally forgot to do. We've been away for so long, we forgot our rating system, the flying saucers.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
So how many flying saucers did you give the nighttime podcast episode number 22, the Shag Harbor UFO incident, Rad?
I would give it a solid 4.
Okay. All right.
And that's out of 5, right?
That's out of 5.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to give mine 3.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Just because I'd probably give it higher if I was actually a video gamer. Because I would know more. I would know more if it actually looks like a good game. Because I have no idea. I'm not a gamer. So it could be could be bad. Yeah. So I'm not gonna give it a high rating if it's not, you know, if not sure. All right, Inessa.
But the trailer. Yeah, you can rate.
Yeah, that's true. Inessa, what's your pick?
My pick is an episode of Dublin Talks with Adrian and Jeremy, and Dublin Talks comes on in Dublin from I think 10 in the morning until noon, and it's just a radio show where people can call in and they have different topics that they talk about. And one of these topics happens to be about the Raelian movement. And the name of the episode is called Dublin Caller Worships Aliens. This is crazy! Explanation point times 3. So, and this aired on June 16th of this year. So it's still fairly recent. I think I had it picked out for the show and then I probably had a migraine because that seems to be the thing with me lately. And so, yeah, it's a good thing I made notes for myself because I was like, what was my pick? Oh, yeah. So anyway, and I'll just read the description that they have on their site. It says, today on Dublin Talks, during the weirdest topic we've ever done, we spoke to Dublin woman Moya Henderson, who is a member of the Raelian movement in Ireland. Raelian are a group of people who worship aliens and say they are, quote, trying to spread their word. Moya told us she is a messenger for aliens living on our planet and that they created us. She believes they are our leaders. This is the most bizarre conversation we have ever had on this show. So, no, I actually thought it was really interesting because, I mean, we've talked about the Raelians before and their beliefs that the Elohim had come to Earth and had basically created human life. And then, of course, the guy who leads the movement is Rael, and I don't remember his name in real life. And so then you have the Raelians. And so anyway, like things that I jotted down just very brief notes because I expected to use this pretty quickly. And one thing that I gather is they do a lot of meditating. And that the concept of marriage is a man-made thing. It's not something that happens in nature, I suppose. The whole monogamous relationship thing, I guess, is what they're getting at. And anyway, they believe that relationships should be more open and fluid, so you're not committed to like one individual. There was a question about, I guess there was a rumor that they have meetings where everybody's naked.
Oh, yeah.
but you know, you got to think sometimes the people that are naked are the ones you don't want to see naked.
Yes, that's
just
true.
Throwing that out there.
Good point.
But anyway, like the clothing is optional, but they're not necessarily completely naked. I mean, they could be if they wanted to, but their meetings are clothing optional. So I imagine probably lots of people hanging out in their undies being comfy. And I guess it's essentially a religion. She describes it, Moya describes it as not really a belief system, but a state of awareness. And one thing that I kind of dug about the Raelian movement is that there is no membership fee. So suck it, Scientology.
How much is
the
membership fee?
We get aliens and it's for free.
How much do Scientologists have to pay?
I don't know, but they have different levels, different tiers. And so the money varies the higher up you go. I imagine it's more and more money. It's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
L. Ron Hubbard said that if he wanted to make money, he would create his own religion, and he did.
Interesting.
So I did end up, the Marathon County Library had their semi-annual book sale, and I ended up picking up L. Ron Hubbard's book. I can't think of the name now. Starts with a C.
Oh, I remember seeing commercials for it way back in the day.
Not cryogenics.
Dianetics?
Dianetics. There we go.
Yeah.
I was thinking like cryogenic. I'm like, nope. Okay, so Dianetics. I did pick that up because it was, I think, like 50 cents or something.
Ooh, bargain.
I haven't read it yet. It's a fairly thick book, but, you know, I was just kind of curious about the Scientology as a religion. And they had people calling in and asking Moya questions and whatnot. But maybe not a lot, but some of the people just seemed like they wanted to mock her and tell her that what she believes is crazy. And, you know, it does seem far-fetched for a lot of people. But when you think about the religions that we have today and what people believe, it's no different than the others, really.
Yeah, that's true.
I just thought that this was a really interesting listen, considering that the only thing that we've ever talked about and known have been mostly what we read online through news articles and whatnot. So to have someone that's actually a member of this movement talk about give a little insight about what the movement is about, I just thought was really cool. So I highly recommend giving it a listen. I think it was maybe 20 to 30 minutes in length.
Okay. Sounds digestible. Definitely. So, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's not incredibly time-consuming, so you're not going to be wasting too much. And this is going to end.
Man, we're really heavy on the audio content in our picks this week. That's pretty cool. Little tease on what my pick might be next week. It's either going to be the Alien 3 Comic-Con panel, the 30th anniversary, which I started watching it today, or if we get to the theater, Star Trek Beyond. One of those two is going to be my pick next week.
That was actually a pretty good movie.
Oh, really?
And I would have used that if I hadn't had this one that I've been sitting on forever.
Okay. All right. I'm glad that
you... So we can do like a group pick.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I'm really going to try my best to get the theater within the next week.
Okay.
All right.
Yep. Keep us posted. We can all talk about it. We just saw it last night.
Okay. All right. Don't say anything. Don't say anything yet.
Hey. It was terrible. You're going to hate it.
Okay.
Yep. Suck butt.
All right, so we mentioned this real quick before, but I'll go into more detail here. How would you like to get the latest info on what Galactic Netcast has been up to over the past month? Well, we have a way of doing that. You can sign up for our newsletter by going to gncasts.com/signup. That's gncasts.com/signup. Also on that link, this is the thing that we mentioned before, is our Slack channel, our Slack team chat. You can chat with me, you can chat with Brad, you can chat with Matt, Gregor, Corey, just the whole Galactic Netcast team. And it's free, completely free. So again, go to gncasts.com/signup and either get in on the newsletter or get in on the Slack chat team. Which is pretty neat. It's kind of an inside baseball type thing, or some other sport. Okay, so for more on this podcast, including show notes, contact info, and more, go to gncasts.com slash Aliens. You can subscribe to this podcast by going to gncasts.com/subscribe or search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or any other place fine podcasts are offered up. Okay, before we get out of here, final thoughts. Brad, what do you got?
I have nothing.
Brad is very sad that my mouse battery died just now.
It's true.
He's just so sad.
You were very attached to that mouse battery?
She's had it since she was a child.
Anessa, what do you got? You got something more substantial than that? I know it's been a month. We're kind of out of practice here, so bear with us, folks.
I can't think of the name of the app, but I came across it on iTunes. I think it was free, but it's kind of cool in that it's got a lot of the books that you would find on Project Gutenberg available, but it breaks it up into small bite-sized pieces, and it'll send you a reminder each day, like, "Hey, you should read a little more."
Oh, cool. So,
Anyway, I'm currently reading a book on there that's called Star-Lord.
Oh.
And it'll probably end in the next couple of weeks.
It's not Star-Lord from Guardians of the Galaxy, is it?
No. I'm not sure when it was written, but it was, I would guess, probably 50s or earlier.
Oh, okay. So way before Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. No, Star-Lord in this case is the name of a ship.
Okay. Interesting. All right. So if you think of the name of the app, yeah, let me know. We'll put it in the show notes in the podcast so we can spread the word. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of The Alien Invasion, a production of Galactic Netcast. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Until next time, we will talk to you later.
Bye.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.